This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. It's been 9 months or so since media around the country and the world was focused on Flint, Michigan, and the lead in its water. When I went to Flint back in January, the city was still in turmoil. The National Guard handed out bottles of water every day, and small children were being tested for lead poisoning at open houses held by the community school district. Now, the kids in that district are back in school. And remember, school is where any neurological or behavioral damage from lead might show up first. We called up the superintendent of the Flint school system, Bilal Tawab, to talk about what progress has been made and what hasn't. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So let's say I'm a first grader in the middle of the school day and I want to get a drink of water. What do I do?
Well, good question. We definitely do not want to disturb the learning process. And so we have put in systems or processes that would allow the student to acquire a bottle of water within the classroom. So he or she is able to just get up and as they need water and grab a bottle and go back to their seat and continue with the instruction.
What kinds of things are you seeing in the kids and hearing from them? They've been under stress for so long now.
I would say that right now, I mean, kids are concerned because they're constantly seeing in the news and in the media, you know, hearing about their city and the impact the water may have on their development. So we have had students lift concerns to us, and we've been doing our best to make sure we're addressing those concerns in a very timely manner and ensuring them that we're going to make sure you're okay as we move forward, because we truly do not know the full impact of the crisis. We have been really focusing on making sure we have a very strong system in place to be able to meet whatever need that may come our way. And so we're really focusing on developing our multi-tiered system of support to be able to meet the needs of all of our kids.
Well, I would imagine part of that is medical support. And when I was there in January, you guys had one nurse for the district.
I would say this, thanks to the state, we have 9 nurses in the district. And also the state has supported us in acquiring additional social workers and speech pathologists and school psychologists. So we're definitely sort of developing the manpower, the human capital that's needed to address the needs of the kids.
I want to try and play a clip from the district nurse back in January because it really stuck with me. I'm going to have our producers play it down the line so you can hear it. Mm-hmm.
Some of the psychologists in the district have said they're the little kids, the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds that they're testing, that they've already seen a difference.
What are they seeing?
They're not where they should be right now as far as like sociability skills that they test the little ones. This is going to be an ongoing issue for years and years and years. It's a whole generation here that's been poisoned. So the impact on the schools will be huge.
When you deal with the, you know, the littles and your psychologists and pre-K and kindergarten teachers see them, how do they handle what's happened to them? And how do they separate out what is a child suffering from lead exposure and, you know, a 5-year-old who's hungry?
I would say this, it's really hard for us to, at this time, determine if a child is facing challenges due to the water crisis or some other issue. That's why I feel it's very important that we just be equipped to meet the needs, whatever that need may be, of all of our children.
All of this is expensive.
Yeah.
When we talked in the winter, you told me that you guys had a $10 million budget deficit. How are things looking now?
I would say our deficit is headed in the right direction. this year, our budget is based on 4,700 kids, and to date, we've exceeded that target. And so I'm excited to say that for the district. I will admit we are down 12% in terms of enrollment in comparison to last year. So,
do you think that's because of the water crisis?
And to be honest, some parents have expressed some concerns this year as it relates to the water. Yeah. And so I'm sure the water and possibly other issues may have played a part in a parent making the decision to go to another district. So we're moving forward, and we're doing great things, and, you know, we have all these resources now coming in, and so we're making sure that we're pushing out that narrative to the community to let them know that we're serious about educating their kids and that we will have the resources to support them moving forward. And so I think that's important now, just making sure our families are informed. This year, we have the huge community education expansion, thanks to the Mott Foundation. And so that allows us to engage the school, the family, and the community in a very meaningful way. And so we're very excited about that opportunity this year.
Obviously, I would imagine one of the other important things here is that you need to hire the best teachers that you can, that these kids need that more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make the pitch to a teacher, come here, come to this under-resourced district where these children are going to be really dependent on a great teacher?
Mm-hmm. I will admit that's a challenge for me right now. And there have been folks who have wanted to come to the district to serve our kids. But unfortunately, due to our current status, our salaries are just not competitive. And so that presents a challenge for someone, husband and wife and children, you know, to be able to raise a family and pay bills on the salaries that we offer. And so as many times as I can, I'm constantly lifting to folks that, you know, either we're going to have to be able to provide a more aggressive salary step system, or we at least need to present some type of incentive program for folks who want to come to Flint to teach, because you're right, our kids deserve the best teachers out there, and those teachers deserve the salaries that they've earned. And so that is my challenge at this point.
You mentioned charitable donations, that the Mott Foundation has given a lot of money to the school system. I think there is a perception out in other parts of America that the federal government and the state sent a lot of money to Flint and things are totally fine now. What would you say to that?
There's still much work to be done. You know, I can speak for sort of my purview. The school district, we're starting to receive resources, and that we're very thankful and grateful for those resources. I think there's still additional work to be done on the school level and as the city as a whole.
Do you think that the state is invested in fixing this?
I would say from where I sit in the world of education, the state has been very supportive and at the table. So, yeah, I would keep it at that. I think in the world of education, they have sat down with the district and they're willing to do the work that's needed to be done moving forward.
I am curious about your experience. You came from the Detroit school system. You're a relatively new superintendent. What's it been like walking into this thing?
Oh, yeah, that's been an experience. First year superintendent. You know, the water crisis, just it took things to a whole nother level. When I think back, I mean, the second or third week in September, you know, I would have never thought I was going to shut off water in my schools, and I had to make that decision around, I think, about the third week. And then to go through that and begin to put systems in place and dealing with donations and folks coming to me want to know, what's the answer? What are we going to do for the children? Folks see the superintendent as sort of, you know, you're the keeper of children. You're there to protect children. And so what are we going to do? And so just being able to take that all in and begin to immediately collaborate with folks at the city, state, and federal level was really important that first year. And so things have calmed down now. And so now we really are focused on moving forward and really controlling a positive narrative.
When do you think that the schools will stop using bottled water?
That's the million-dollar question. I'm not sure. It's going to require that all stakeholders make that determination. It can't just be made by the schools. So when we get to that point, we're there. But right now, I can't tell you.
Bilal Tawab, Superintendent of Flint Community Schools, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.